Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Joining me, two great folks, wonderful people. One introduced me to the other. Dr. Sherry Keffer is with us. Hey, Sherry, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Good to be with you and our guest today, who we always love being with.
We do, and it is the author of Your Brain is Always Listening, and it's Dr. Daniel Amen. Dr. Amen, thanks for joining us today. We always love having you on. Thank you for being here. Well, he'll be here in a minute. He may have stepped out for a minute. But anyway, he will be here.
Trust me. I'm here.
Oh, he's here. All right. There he is.
Dr. Amen is always listening.
I love you both. And so excited to talk about the new book. It's about the hidden dragons that control your happiness, habits, and hang-ups.
So what are some of those dragons?
That's what we talk about.
Yeah, what are some of the dragons?
Divided into six segments. The first one, I think, is my favorite. It's about the dragons from the past that are always breathing fire on your emotional brain. Like my primary dragon, most people wouldn't know it, is the abandoned, invisible, and insignificant dragon, being one of seven children and sort of getting lost. And it shaped the rest of my life. There's also the inferior flawed dragon, which is driving the epidemic of teenage suicide. The most common of all the dragons is the anxious dragon. There's also the wounded dragon, the shouldn't shaming dragon, the death dragon that is just breathing fire. That, you know, the death dragon usually pops its head up in midlife. But now with the pandemic, children, 6, 7, are worried about their deaths and the deaths of people they love. The most interesting of all the dragons is the ancestral dragon, where the issue you have, it's actually not your issue, that it got written into your genetic code by the trauma of your mom or your dad. I saw a Palestinian woman 2 weeks ago, and she just always feels guilty for the suffering that happened, and it's not hers to own. Did you know that if you're an American Indian teenager, you have a tenfold increased risk of killing yourself from suicide?
Goodness.
And it's generational trauma that lives in all of us, but for some people it's expressed in that dragon.
Okay, let me ask you,
wreaking havoc in their lives.
Let me ask you a question. You're on, you are in the midst, we're all in the midst of the COVID epidemic. Tell folks one thing that you know would be good for folks who are having less contact with others, maybe struggling, maybe afraid of this thing. What's one thing they could do to help the brain during this time?
Your best defense against COVID-19 is your own brain, which means you make better decisions and your immune system. So one thing, know your vitamin D level. Know it and then optimize it, not to normal, but to mid-range to high-level normal.
Yeah, and you know what? That's one of the things I did early on is to make vitamin D. I tripled my dose. I heard that, you know, it was the equivalent of a flu shot. I got a flu shot, too. And I just got vaccinated. But really important, that vitamin D thing. A lot of people miss that. And so Dr. Amen's saying one of the best decisions your brain could make is to get vitamin D inside of your body. Absolutely. All right, when we come back, we'll go to the phones. Really glad you're with us here today on New Life Live. Dr. Daniel Amen, Dr. Sherry Keffer, we're talking about the book, Your Brain is Always Listening, and hopefully a good therapist every now and then. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're on with Dr. Daniel Amen and Dr. Sherry Keffer. And how about we go and talk with Amy from Monrovia, California, listening on KKLA. Hi, Amy. How are you today?
Okay.
How can we help?
I have kind of a three-part question. The first part is, am I a lazy, selfish person for leaving my mom in a transitional care unit that is seeking memory care rather than bringing her home because she has Alzheimer's? I wanted to know, am I bad for praying that she goes to heaven instead of continuing to live like this? And I wanted to know, how do I deal with seeing her decline? She now mumbles, is incoherent. She wears a diaper now, and she wasn't doing any of that stuff before she went into the transitional care unit.
Mm. That's got to be tough. Dr. Amen, what do you think? Let's hear from him what he's thinking about this or questions he might have.
How long's your mom had Alzheimer's, Amy?
She was diagnosed in July of 2019.
Yeah, it's devastating. And, you know, when you start losing your mind, my book, Memory Rescue, is all about this. And the caregivers go through so much stress. It's chronic, unrelenting stress that you are not a lazy, selfish person. But what I would do, I'd journal the thoughts you have. And then I would, in the new book, Your Brain is Always Listening, I actually say, give me 100 of your worst thoughts and I'll change your life. Because I'll teach you how to challenge them, how to correct them, how to get them to help you rather than assault you. And, you know, for me, I'm also like, I wonder if she really has Alzheimer's. Is there a treatable part of it? I don't know if you've seen the book, The End of Alzheimer's. I'm just a huge fan of, can we put her brain in a healing environment, and will that help? So, Steve, we should also send her Memory Rescue.
Okay, we'll do that. Yeah.
But at the same time, if you are not okay because you can't deal with what it takes to have somebody with dementia in your house, you're not a bad person. You're a normal person. And taking care of yourself, are you married? Do you have kids? Is there...
No.
I guess I need
that's
to know more of your story.
No, that's why I wonder if I should bring her home. Did her decline get worse from being there?
Oh, sweetheart.
Well, and it may be, because in the era of COVID, when, you know, visitation's not the same, activities are not the same, you know, whatever you can do to keep them engaged. And one of the worst things about care facilities is they let the people order whatever they want. And when you have Alzheimer's, you start ordering bad food. You know, so it's a carb-loaded environment. That accelerates Alzheimer's disease, and actually very few people know that.
Mm.
Amy, let me take a guess about you. I actually think your gift is probably mercy, and I think you feel very deeply about a lot of different things. What right now you're feeling as these labels, I can hear it in Dr. Amen's book, it's the shame dragon.
Mm.
It's this critic. It's a very critical dragon. But this is what I wanted to say to you, and I truly hope you can think about absorbing this. You are a very caring and loving person, and you're somebody that feels so deeply. that it actually like slices your heart open to see your mom in this place, because it's not who she was. And are you bad to pray? No, you're basically praying mercy. Mercy, Lord, take her, relieve her from this entrapment in her body. Your heart's good, and God knows that. But there is a self-critic inside of you, that shame dragon that Dr. Amen talks about, that wants to make you lazy and bad and irresponsible, and the one that's guilty because she's gotten worse. And I speak back to that dragon. I said, no, you cannot have Amy. Amy is kind and loving and caring about a lot of things. This has just been overwhelming. And your mom's in a place. You are making sure she's getting cared for. It's just that you're not her primary person.
Well, let me say this to you. As Dr. Amen was saying, caring for someone with Alzheimer's, it takes a toll. And so we kind of idealize what it would be like if we were taking care of someone. You idealize what it would be like. If I bring her home, everything's going to be great. But fact is, you wouldn't be at your best after a couple of months. It takes its toll. And so I can say for sure that there are some people that are at home that wish whoever's taking care of them would put them in a facility where people might not get so frustrated. It's normal to get frustrated, angry, all this stuff. It's hard to do it. And many times the facility, well, they've got certain things in place that make sure the care is good. So you just want to be sure that it's a great place and they're going to take good care of her. But I really hear the compassion that you have and the mercy, like Dr. Sherry is saying. I'll send you this book, and I just, again, a little counseling here or there for you to deal with some of this. This could be a gift to yourself that could, could really
Steve,
be
there's
helpful.
There's one more really important thing, that if you have a family member with dementia, Alzheimer's is a form of dementia, you have an increased risk. It's one of the risk factors.
Yeah, that's right.
And you are seeing the pain this causes. You want to be on an Alzheimer's prevention program immediately. Mm. I think all of us should be on an Alzheimer's prevention program. What does that mean? Is you want to prevent or treat the 11 major risk factors that steal your mind. I have a mnemonic called Bright Minds. And the G is genetics. If you have it in your family, as soon as possible, Amy, you want to be doing the right things for your brain. And being under chronic stress, either from allowing the negative thoughts to occupy your mind or bringing her home when you really can't fully take care of someone with Alzheimer's, it's a big job, and it's not a job for one person. That's really important to understand. That's impossible. That taking care of yourself is critical, because you see how it impacts people who love her.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. I'm really glad that you called. And Dr. Amen, you talk about this constant stress. Like if you're in a relationship and it's hard conflict, you're abandoned or criticized all the time, what does that do to a person's brain? As you were saying, this constant stress and pressure.
It actually shrinks your brain. There's a very special part of the brain called the hippocampus, which is Greek for seahorse. And the hippocampus makes 700 new stem cells every day. You know, whether you're my daughter who's 17's age or my age at 66. And our behavior and what we think and how we feel and what we eat is either growing those new cells so they become part of our brain, or it's shrinking those cells, killing those cells, hurting those cells, and being under chronic, unremitting stress in a bad relationship, for example, or caring for a parent with dementia is really hard, being in grief that you don't get help for example, actually makes your brain smaller.
All right. Those of you who want to stay big brain people, you have to resolve the conflict in those relationships. It does not get better. All right. Let's go to Jason, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He is a YouTube viewer. Jason, how are you today? You're on with Dr. Amen, Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Hey, pretty good. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
What's happening with you?
I'm dealing with a lot of stress and anxiety. So part of my plan to deal with that anxiety was to save money for the future, just pay for whatever might come my way. So I recently sold an expensive item to a private party. At first, it had like a euphoric effect. Like I felt lighter, I felt good. You know, like I recouped some money from that expense. And then a couple of days later, my anxiety spiked. And it's just, I'm at the point where it's, having difficulty sleeping. And, my question is, should I try to get that item back to get back to like my baseline where, my anxiety bank was already full and I was trying to, plan for the future. And then, selling this item just spiked it. And, it's just definitely a change. And, I just noticed a change, and I'm just trying to figure out if I should try to get this item back.
Okay. All right.
Or if that's not the issue.
Okay. Let's start with Dr. Keffer, and then we'll go to Dr. Amen, see what he thinks. Sherry, what are you thinking here?
Well, hey, Jason. I think worry is a familiar friend of yours. I think worry has been around for a very long time. And it makes me wonder a little bit about the circumstances in which you grew up in. And if there were worries in your home around your security, around someone being there for you, around provision, and this idea of scarcity. Scarcity is this feeling that I'm not going to have enough. And I'm telling you, COVID has just kind of doused all of us with some worry around that. But can you give us a little insight? Growing up, was there either scarcity or kind of criticism in your home?
No, it seemed like my home was good to go. No major issues there.
You've never worried till just now.
No, I've definitely been a chronic warrior, I've just been worrying about a bunch of things, and I'm just planning for the future now. And like I said, I guess I'm having trouble answering that question. There wasn't any major childhood issues. It was just like a divorce in the family, but, we were taken care of, and, there's really no issues there, in my opinion.
So this is it. And you know what's so amazing, Jason, is sometimes we look at a divorce in the family, and we think, okay, I'm good, needs were met. But do you know that a divorce is actually a trauma event? It's a trauma event. The bottom falls out. Were you the oldest son or the only son?
I was second to the oldest, though. I was the oldest son, yeah.
You were the oldest son. So you know what happens to oldest boys when there's a divorce in the family? And nobody even has to teach you this, my friend. No one has to teach this. Is that oldest boy, all of a sudden, without anybody telling him what to do, carries the burden and the mantle for provision, because you guys are providers. So now all of a sudden the primary wage earner is not there and mom has to pick up the flack. But that little boy, and you were how old?
I was like 16, between 16 and like 17 when that
first. Okay, so here you were in high school, and it's a hard time in high school because you know, you would have been just focusing in on girls, dating girls and maybe sports or whatever you did. But now the worries of your heart and what's going to happen to my mom and is she going to be okay and my siblings okay, start up at that time in our lives.
We'll be back right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Amen, anything that you want to add here about this anxiety and selling an item and going through a divorce as a child, all of it?
Yeah, no, I loved actually where Sherry was going with that. In addition, I think it's very important to tame the anxious dragon that is breathing fire on your emotional brain. And mm-hmm. that's really a daily practice. People don't understand this. You know, like go to therapy once or twice, try some of the techniques, and then they go, well, it didn't work for me. And it's sort of like somebody who needs to lose 50 pounds. They have a salad for lunch and they're disappointed they're not trimmed by Friday. Right. It's you need a daily practice to manage your anxiety. So I always start with, well, some anxiety is good for you. People with low levels of anxiety go to jail. And, yeah. You know, they get themselves into trouble. So some anxiety is good, too much is clearly in this situation. Is you want to have a daily practice. And the simplest thing is to do 3 minutes, two or three times a day, of diaphragmatic breathing. Big breath in, so 3-4 seconds in, hold it, 8 seconds out. Do that on a consistent basis. And then whenever you feel sad, mad, nervous, or out of control, write down what you're thinking. And then there's a whole process in the book that I take people through on how to get rid of the bad thoughts. The issue is not the item you sold. The issue is you can't manage your mind. And so learning how to be excellent at managing your mind is a very important first step.
Yeah. You know, I would just say this too. Don't go buy that object back. Use this to build up some endurance because you're probably going to make some other decisions that you're going to regret. This can help you build up a little bit of brain power for that. Sherry, any final comment here?
Hey, Jason, we care about you. I'm just amazed how these moments in our lives can set the tone for decisions going forward, right? Because trauma wires in a belief like this. I'm not in control, or there isn't enough. Or I am fully responsible for what's happening, even though you're 16. And so do some deeper work. Some of us, you know, take a look at those behaviors and how I often say your behavior's telling on you. And in this case, Jason, it's just letting you know that there's something in there, and I think a trauma event that just hasn't had some healing attached to it.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, when we learn early on we can't count on people, stuff becomes much, much more important to us. I want to talk to Mary Ann, Boyertown, Pennsylvania, and she listens on WYBO, I believe it is. Hi, how are you? WBYO is what I meant to say.
Hello.
Welcome. Yeah. How are you? How could we help you?
Well, today is not quite as bad as other days, but my question is, my husband passed away approximately 4 months ago,
okay.
And I'm really having a hard time letting go of my grief, and it's making me physically ill, and I am filled with sadness and the loneliness, and I have been told that I should start an antidepressant to kind of change the chemical imbalance that they think is going on in my body. And I wanted to know if Dr. Amen had any suggestions that I could calm and turn my brain off, because I cannot let the grief go it's with me 24/7.
Hmm.
Oh, Marianne, I feel for you and understand. How long were you married?
59 years.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
That's rough.
Yeah, so your husband
and
lived
his,
in every
his death
fun place in your head. And
yes.
You're how old?
I'm 78.
Yeah, so you may live
and
a lot longer. And so getting yourself back is really important. How are you sleeping?
Fitfully. I do sleep. I have recently been diagnosed with bilateral occipital neuralgia. And so they're recommending I do some therapy, which I should start this week. The way I found my husband is giving me a lot of guilt, how his death came about, and I can't seem to put it to rest.
What do you mean?
My husband was ill. He had Parkinson's and he had had prior strokes. So I was primary caregiver for approximately 2 years. I had rules and things set up in the house that he followed very well, and I tried to keep him as independent as I could. One of the rules was when he went out of the house to go for a walk, he would let me know that he was out so that I could monitor how long he was out, because basically he was on oxygen 24/7. He could go out without the oxygen, which is what he did. On this particular day, he did go out without letting me know that he went out, and it had been an hour, and I had gone down to tell him dinner was ready.
Hmm.
I didn't.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back and talking with Marianne, really distraught over how her husband died. Cherry, you wanted to interact here with her. Let's do that.
Hey, Marianne. Well, I'm heartbroken over how you ended up discovering that he had passed. You didn't see it coming. In fact, you had lovingly set guidelines and mm-hmm. rules in your home in order to secure his care. And the only thing that you can't do, right? The only thing you didn't have is the ability to control every moment. And my mom lost my dad. Well, my dad passed away, and my mom went to the store. She ran to Walmart and was gone probably about 18 minutes and came home to find that my dad had passed away in the bedroom. And he was on oxygen as well. And my mother for years blamed herself for the fact that she had gone to Walmart. Because in her mind, I mean, someone passing is a trauma event. Like we were talking with Jason.
Right.
It's a trauma event. And so you go back to that moment of passing and you... Your brain wires in a negative belief about yourself, and in this case, I hear one that says, I should have done something, or I did something wrong. The fact that you didn't have a pulse on him. The issue is. Go ahead.
That I found him at the back door in my driveway.
Oh, sweetheart.
He was passed, and every time I go in and out that door, he's there.
I know. And let me jump in here. You may know my brother. What was the date of your husband's loss? It was right around Christmas, wasn't it? November?
October 30th. October.
You may have heard my brother committed suicide the week of Christmas on Monday. And those images that I have in my mind that I got when I flew in that very morning it happened were etched in my mind as well. And I had to do some intensive work. I had to do some EMDR and brain spotting in order to help me heal from what I saw and what I felt. But I so related to your call this morning, and I think a lot of us can relate to this, Marianne. When we have a loss like this, we just want grief to go away. How can I let grief go? And I'd give anything right now to let grief go. But you know what? I have to grieve. I have to cry. Larry asked me today, how are you doing? I said, I'm okay. I've been spending the weekends going back and seeing my mom. And if I could bounce out of this quicker, girl, I would. But you know what I'm doing? I'm crying. I'm talking about my brother.
I have plenty of those days.
I know. Yeah. And dear one, there's more in there. You were together 6 decades.
Yeah.
And so a grief group may be a good way to help you.
Let me pop in a little
bit. Go ahead.
There is a grief and loss dragon in the book. And I think you start healing immediately.
Yeah.
Because if you broke a bone, you wouldn't wait 6 months to start healing. And so putting a brain healthy routine, because what happens in grief is your emotional brain got fired up. And the fact, it sounds to me, you've been a wonderful wife and you were taking really great care. And at some point we all die. And if somebody has Parkinson's disease and strokes, it means they're dying faster than other people. So when it comes to the issue of an antidepressant, I wouldn't be opposed to that. You're having trouble. Now, I actually make something called Happy Saffron that I love because head-to-head against antidepressants has been shown to be equally effective in 21 randomized controlled trials. Omega-3 fatty acids. There's also, I would do specific trauma therapy around your back door and finding him. My dad died last May. And like 2 days later, I'm in his house, and a picture of my dead dad in the mortuary is in a random stack of papers. And it just bothered me the whole day. I was just so upset about, like, who left that? That's so insensitive. And then I'm like, oh, well, you do trauma therapy. Mm-hmm. And there's another treatment I like called havening, where you grab both of your shoulders and you just stroke down. So I actually thought about that picture that was really bothering me. And after 30 seconds, it didn't bother me as much. I repeated that same process 6 times, and I came actually to love that picture because it's the last picture I had of my dad alive.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nutrients for your brain, you know, whether it's a natural antidepressant or an antidepressant, I think the longer you suffer, it's not good for your brain, like we talked about earlier. And then journal what happened. I know in your mind you've told this story over and over and over again. It's good to get it on paper. And there's research that says people who journal 15 minutes a day, within 2 or 3 weeks, they begin to feel remarkably better. And then you want to exercise as you can.
Well, let me send you the book. It's all in there, and I think it's going to really help you. We're sorry for your loss. Now, you know, we talk about trauma. Dr. Amen got over his in 30 seconds. Every Thursday for 2 hours, I'm in a group, and all we're talking about and dealing with is trauma. 2 hours every Thursday evening. So maybe you're not a 30-second cure person. Maybe you need some ongoing stuff to help you with whatever trauma you've gone through. Speaking of trauma, Larry, you've helped a lot of people with trauma. You're not a trauma carrier. Tell us what you brought into the studio today.
Well, I brought in a testimony that I really love because it's one that somebody knew what to do when it happened because they listened to our program. Listen to this. We are so blessed by your ministry and your daily program. When I discovered my husband on the computer looking at very inappropriate websites 8 years ago, I knew just what to do. He got the help he needed through the Everyman's Battle Workshop. It was just the beginning of building our marriage. Today, he can be trusted. He says what he means, where he's going, etc. Previously, every move was suspect. I can't put into words the joy that fills my heart related to your help. Your books have been awesome, as is the interaction on your programs between the radio hosts. I love you all. Thank you so much.
So I love that.
It's an education, folks. You listen to this program often enough, and you know what to do when things come up. And what better ministry is there to support than something that can prevent absolute chaos and trouble and problems? This ministry does that. The Holy Spirit is very active in this ministry. We try to be faithful to what the Bible says and what Scripture says so that everything we do coordinates and lines up with that.
And amen.
If you could just support that, it makes all the difference in the world to a lot of people. I appreciate it.
Well, this month in April, a gift of any amount, and we will send you this book by Steve Poe called Creatures of Habit, and it reveals the crummy habits under the crummy habits. And I think you could really benefit from that gift of any amount. I'll send you Creatures of Habit. And I know that many of you pray for us. It's a blessing to us when you do. If you can support us financially, please do that. It makes a big, big difference. The number to call is 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last thing, Steve, is just thank you, everybody who is supporting New Life ongoing.
Absolutely.
Deeply appreciated.
We sure do. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Dee from Reston, Virginia. Hi, Dee, how are you today? Dee?
Hello?
Are you
there?
Hi. How can we help today?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Have had what I think, I've lived a complicated sort of life. I was born or raised in the Middle East and married, actually, in the Middle East. And that marriage lasted 20 years. I made it to the States about the last 4 or 5 years of that relationship, that marriage. I have 2 children from that marriage. They're both in their, one is in their mid-30s and the other one is late 30s. The relationship was bad and the marriage was bad, and I was able, by the grace of God, to end the marriage, which was in the mid-90s. And then I remarried, and this time it was an all-American man.
Yeah.
He's from California, actually, from where you guys are. And I had a wonderful life with him. He was quite a bit younger than me. But we had a great relationship. We made a life together. We had a small business together. And then, so that marriage lasted about 15 years. And towards the end, actually.
All right, hold on. We're going to go to a break and think about that question you have for us.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. We're talking to Dina. Dina, we don't have a lot of time. What is the question for us? You've got a really interesting situation there. How could we help you?
I do, and I feel maybe I should call back. But the second marriage ended because my second husband had some serious mental health issues. I tried to help for years. I couldn't. He took off And then eventually, I heard through friends that he took his own life about 2 years ago.
Okay.
So
what about today? What's going on today, and how can we help you with that?
So today, to be honest with you, I have, so I'm born again Christian, and I have been very faithful to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I'm a seminary student now.
Okay.
And I have, I'm 60 years old, and I just feel like, you know, I would like to share my life with another person. It's been very hard doing this online dating.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if it's even healthy to go for a third relationship. And you know, there aren't too many Christian men around, faithful men.
Okay.
And, you know, everybody at this age comes in with their own baggage.
Well,
and,
hold on. Yeah, we get it. Let's go to Sherry and see if she can give you some insight here. Sherry, what do you think?
Well, Tina, my dear, first off, I am sorry for your heart, because I can see, having spent 35 years together combined with two different men, how it would rattle your cage and how it would cause you to believe things that might sound like this. And I used to have a picture on my wall that said, I might as well tell you I'm not the marrying kind. I actually had it. It was framed on my wall. And that came out of my own hurt, having loved and lost, having loved and not been able to sustain relationship. But let me say this. I'm living proof, girl, that there is hope after year number two. It takes one. It takes one man with integrity. And that doesn't mean you're not. I know it's hard right now to date with COVID. It's challenging time, but I don't want you to throw in the towel, because there are good men. You've grown a ton through these experiences. You're in seminary now, but if your mind, if you have one of Dr. Amen's dragons that wants to breathe on your future and already put negativity into imagining that there could be somebody for you, then it's like you're going to scorch the ground right in front of your feet instead of being open to maybe what God has for you.
Yeah, I just, Dr. Amen, do you have a comment here? Anything you want to add to this?
One of my favorite stories in the book is about Rosemary, who had lost her second husband to cancer. She's been a lifelong friend for me. We were having dinner, and she said, no one would ever want a 75-year-old woman. And so I'm like, is that true? Yes. Absolutely true? Well, of course not. How does it make you feel? Lonely, abandoned by God. Like, whoa. Without the thought, I'd be a heck of a lot sexier. Ended up meeting Jack. And, you know, they were married for 10 years, had a great relationship. I'm 66, so I'm like, 60, you're a baby. It's like, what do you want? And then you ask yourself, is your behavior getting you what you want? And we were born, we were made to be connected. And so if that's a hole in your heart, you got to get your mind right so that you can fill it.
Well, let me send you Dr. Amen's book. Dr. Amen, Sherry, it's huge for people to ask themselves, am I getting what I want? In other words, is this strategy that I keep throwing out there, is it working or not working? I want to be connected. Well, are you connected? No. Okay, then could you somehow be willing to pick a different strategy? It's hard for people to give up what they've been doing for so long.
Well, and then to your point, Steve and Dr. Amen, I had shrined my negative belief. I mean, who hangs something up on their wall that says, I may as well tell you I'm not the marrying kind? But
you see how I saw
that every day. And, and that's why I was single again for 17 years. Don't do that. Don't do that. Read Dr. Amen's book, because as soon as I began to open up my mind again, which, you know, you, Steve, and Dr. Henry Cloud kicked me into my recovery stage of dating again. But you know what? There was hope, and it's possible. to be happy. And I got rid of that. You know, I think I threw that away, frame it all.
Mm-hmm. All right, good deal. Well, Dr. Amon, thank you for being with us here. And Dr. Amon's book is Your Brain is Always Listening. Sometimes the person in the condominium next to you is also. So you want to have your act together for what they hear. But tame the hidden dragons that control your happiness, your habits, and your hang-ups. And Dr. Amon gives you a great strategy for conquering those dragons, like the dragon of the past, or the addicted dragon, or the scheming dragon. We all have these. And these ants, automatic negative thoughts. It's all right there. It's a great book. Your Brain is Always Listening. You can get it by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We want to see folks, no matter how old you are, have a new life. Never too late. We got people, they have been addicted all their life, and then they go to something we do, and then they start getting in a group, they start connecting in a different way, and history is made. They aren't history, they make history. So don't give up on you. God has not given up on you, that's for sure. He's always there, always loving you, calling him, calling you to him. That's what he wants. If you have some issues, if you have some struggles, we want to help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. What would we do? We might recommend an intensive, like Every Man's Battle, or we've got the marriage intensive coming up. That might be one thing. We might say, how about a counselor? How about going to see a counselor in your area who is not only a believer, but also has been trained on how to help somebody see some things that you don't see? And then the other thing might be a book, something like that. But we really would never be able to help you in the way you need it best if you don't call us. And we've got folks there, they woke up this morning and said, I want to change somebody's life. I want to do something to help. And so call them. And 1-800-NEW-LIFE is that number. And if you can support us, we'll send you Steve Poe's book, Creatures of Habit. Dr. Amon, let's leave it to you. A final word for anybody who's struggling with a dragon or two that they need to deal with.
Well, know your dragons. You can actually take an online quiz at knowyourdragons.com and have empathy, because we're all dealing with dragons, and your dragons are often interacting with your kids' dragons or a partner's dragons. And when you know them, you just have empathy for the other people in your life.
That's right. Well, they call them dragons because they're dragging you around, and that is not a good thing. You can do something to be free. A lot of people just don't even know that they can be free. They think, this is the way I'm going to be for the rest of my life. But there's great hope, and we can introduce that to you at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number to call. And by the way, maybe you're one of those folks that thinks, you know, I don't need anything but my Bible, going to my church. You know, we believe in Bible and we believe in church, but we also believe that sometimes we get stuck. And if you get stuck, we want to help. You call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thanks for supporting us, for praying for us, for watching, listening. God bless you. Have a great, wonderful day today and tomorrow, too.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.